Welcome, welcome, dear podcast listeners, to another edition of Between the Bubbles, and may I add an actual special edition. This is one of our podcast shorts, but the reason why it's so special, because we are going to talk about the adventures in The Dark Knight Rises and actually discuss, topic by topic, which movie was better. And this is not just Brayden and me, mind you. We have three other panelists with us, and they are all qualified, certified geeks of knowledge and opinion. So we have, not me, but we have Brayden.
Of course I'm here. Can you ever get past an episode without me?
No, we can't. And, of course, unfortunately, we had to get without me in a couple weeks, but we'll talk about that. Oh, crap. Wait, Brayden, let's start over, because I realize this will be after.
Oh, yeah, this will be. We're going to save this till after you come back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Three, two, one, start it over again. Rewind.
Gag reel.
Before you hit reel, is anyone else having kind of like sound blips at all? Is that normal? Is that just me?
They're very rare, but I've heard a couple of them, but it should be okay. I think it might be on your end.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
100%.
So, all right, start over. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do this thing.
All right, three, two, one. Welcome, welcome, dear podcast listeners, to another short edition of Between the Bubbles. But this is not only just a short episode, this is an actual special short episode where we are actually going to discuss, get this, which movie is better, The Avengers or The Dark Knight Rises? Topic by topic, villain, story, action, we got it all. So this time, though, it's not just Brayden and me. We have three other certified, bona fide geeks with opinions who will join us in the discussion of these two stellar, and I might add, groundbreaking movies. So we, of course, have Brayden.
Of course, I'm always here.
He is always there. He's a staple. He's spectacular. We can't not have Brayden here.
Thanks,
so,
Darren.
Oh, you're so welcome. We also have my own, not flesh and blood because he's my kid, but he's my twin brother, so we have the same genetic makeup. So we have Devin. Devin?
Hello. Nice to meet everyone out in the blogosphere.
And as you can tell, Devin and I have the same exact voices, so that just comes with the whole twin territory. So what we're going to try to do is somehow differentiate the two, but let's do this again. So I'm Darren.
This is Devin.
Okay, hopefully
they sound a little different.
A little bit.
So maybe I can talk like a mouse or something, but anyway.
No, please don't.
Maybe just start like D1, and I'll start D2 here. I don't know.
Yeah,
like
that's...
Just make it happen. We'll get it sorted.
We also have Brayden's sister, Vanessa.
Hello.
And we also have Brayden and mine's good friend here in Iowa, Kelsey.
Hi.
So, and Kelsey, if you will recognize her voice, she actually was interviewed while we were in line for The Dark Knight Rises. So
She's an alum.
She is an alum. She's back now joining us. So before we start, for you all listeners to get to know our three new panelists, we want to ask them some questions so you know where they're coming from and whatnot. But first, we'll start with Vanessa. Vanessa, Tell us who is, because this is very important, who is your favorite superhero and why?
My favorite superhero has always been, and I think will always be, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because I relate with him more than I do any other superhero because he's a kid. He's not some rich, like, billionaire guy living in a mansion. He doesn't have, like, super extreme powers, and he's just kind of a dork, but he puts on the mask and he becomes this hero who people look up to, and I can just relate to that as still a young person.
And I think everyone, even if you're old, can relate to Spider-Man, because when does it ever go right?
He just has bad days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Spider-Man. Did you like the Amazing Spider-Man movie?
I really did. I was surprised at how much I liked that movie. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I thought Andrew Garfield did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
Well, thank you. So Vanessa is a Spider-Man fan through and through. Now, Kelsey, your favorite superhero and why?
I'm going to have to say mine is Batman because, you know, I am a rich philanthropist billionaire, but just kidding.
We wish you were a rich philanthropist billionaire.
I just cruise through the streets with Iowa City with a tumbler, you know, to take care of business.
We would hit you up for cash.
No, but I just love Batman. I always have since I was little. He's just, you know, he's got a dark past, but he still tries to overcome it to protect the people of Gotham through and through, and that's just why I've always loved him. And he always looks wicked sweet.
That is true. Oh, that is very, very true. His gadgets and his costumes, stellar. Now, Devin, who's your favorite superhero?
I would actually have to say Batman as well, just because ever since a little kid with the Tim Burton movies, even the Batman animated series, I actually didn't really get involved with the comic side until more recently. But he's just the fact, I mean, I think just his unique situation and his story and his pathos is just so, it's just so interesting, the fact that he's a superhero who has no superpowers and relies upon his brains and his, you know, and his his natural skills. And I just think it's so awesome. And the fact as well, just the stories that you can draw upon his universe is, you know, with, I just love the things they do. I mean, the first comic book I ever read was The Long Halloween. And
which is that right amazing there is, one.
That's a good way to start down the road of comic books.
Yeah, Darren's actually one introduced me to it after, you know, The Dark Knight and that being a major influence. That's when I just fell in love. That's what got me into comics in the first place. So, but Superman is starting to, might replace Batman. I don't know. I'm starting to fall in love with him.
I might have to agree with that.
So,
people just, are, you know, gotta love crack. The Boy Scout.
And who got Kelsey into Superman?
That would have to be Darren.
Oh, wow. I feel the love, guys. I really feel the love. Glad I can persuade you.
You're a geek Yoda.
Yeah, well, I think Brayden's more Yoda. I'm more of the Obi-Wan. So, Brayden, we've talked about this before, who our favorite superheroes are, but just for the record, we'll say it too.
It's like, if you're going to hold a gun to my head and say who's my favorite superhero, it's going to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's necessarily true. There are so many others that I love so much. But I don't know. Also, Captain Marvel is amazing, even though she's only been in 3 comic books so far.
Yeah, so, Captain Marvel is starting to come up there with some of mine. And mine is Batman. It was my first superhero I loved. It was the first movie I ever remember seeing in a theater. And Devin obviously was there. But that just started the downward spiral into this fanboy dream.
You make it sound like it's a pit. It's it's an upward ascending spiral to the heavens of awesomeness.
Well, but it was just this fascination. You know, I don't know if that's, well, I guess true. That would be an upward spiral. But yeah, because downwards has negative connotation. What am I saying? Anyway, so I actually dream about Batman sometimes. That is no joke, no lie. And it started when I was a little kid. So we all know who my favorite is. Anyway, so now we're going to the amazing topic at hand, because this has been a topic that's been discussed in comic book shops that I've visited. I'm sure it's been discussed in comic book shops that you visit, even with your friends who don't read comics. Which movie is better, Dark Knight Rises or The Avengers? But you can't just say The Avengers or Dark Knight without discussing the finer details. I mean, that's not giving enough credit to these two groundbreaking movies. So now we're going to get started on the topics, and to preface this, you need to know where we're coming from, because there are some different factions inside this panel. Brayden is the Avengers guy.
You know it.
Kelsey and Devin are Dark Knight Rises, and Vanessa and I are smack dab in the middle. So let's get started. First thing first, every great movie is not only great because of the actors, not only great because of special effects, but what makes them great is the story. Because if you don't have a great story, then your movie falls flat. So, let's get started. Story, which do you like more and why? And Vanessa, you being a middle person, let's start with you.
Okay. I think, well, I don't know. I really had to like look at both of them individually. So The Avengers, which is more about like a group of heroes coming together for the first time, sort of being forced into the situation, as opposed to fighting as individuals, which is what they've been doing this whole time. So there were some obvious struggles with them trying to make that work. Not everything went perfectly, obviously, but when it finally did, you know, they had a good leader in Captain America, they had a plan of attack, they followed their orders, they worked together as a team, and they ultimately saved the world, which, you know, you couldn't want, like, I don't know. You couldn't want your team to do better than saving the entire planet.
It sets the bar pretty high.
Yeah. Batman, on the other hand, a fallen hero, framed as a villain, coming back into the world after 8 years of just kind of being alone. You know, he lost his love. You know, he was framed for something he didn't do. So just, you know, sort of having to rebuild himself, you know, and having to save the city and reestablish himself as a good guy. You know, it was which one did I find more interesting? I think Batman was more compelling, but I think that the story of the Avengers is maybe more, I don't know, more interesting. But I think just that whole idea of having to rebuild everything that you once knew, it was more compelling to me personally.
Oh, so are you kind of with both on this one then, or is there...
A little bit. I think I'm maybe leaning more towards Batman, but mm-hmm. it's still not sure.
Interesting. Now, so Kelsey, what's your thoughts?
I'm just going to have to stick with Batman, obviously. I really just enjoyed how so many different Batman stories could come together in one, and to just... we're going to talk about the end of the movie later, but just tie off the series in such a great way. I honestly didn't see any of it coming. Anything I could have predicted was just blown away. I think I really like the storyline better because it kept me guessing. Whereas in the Avengers, I kind of felt, you know, the pattern of what was going to happen before it even happened. And I'm not saying that the Avengers wasn't a great movie, because obviously it was, but just as you know, as far as a movie that keeps me intrigued the whole time, the storyline of Batman of The Dark Knight Rises just had me sold the whole way from the very beginning.
Interesting. So how did you feel about how it all came together as well?
That as well. That's definitely a big playing factor, because obviously the Avengers all came together with these heroes joining together, but I was more interested in how Christopher Nolan unified the three, you know, the first two movies into the third one. And that was just, I think, very well done.
Interesting. Now, Brayden, what do you say?
Yeah, see, I see where you're coming from there, but I felt like that was one of the failings of The Dark Knight Rises. I felt like the Avengers had a better unity of story and unity of theme that I didn't get from The Dark Knight Rises, simply because I felt like the pieces were too disparate. And part of that comes from trying to marry Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which don't feel like movies that belong together when you watch them separate. And trying to marry their themes and their tone and all that kind of stuff together ultimately worked, I think, for myself at least, to the film's detriment. Whereas I felt like in the Avengers, it was able to capture the feel of all those other Marvel movies, those five movies that it's technically a sequel to, and capture that into a unified, crystalline whole rather than kind of disparate parts. Because I felt like the biggest problem with The Dark Knight Rises is that it was big and it was bombastic, and consequently it felt a little disparate in parts.
Did it feel a little lifeless, would you say?
I wouldn't say lifeless. I would just say that there were too many pieces and they didn't come together into a perfect tapestry the way that I expect a Nolan film to do. It was just a little ragged around the edges.
Interesting. Now, so Devin, how do you respond to that?
Wait, sorry, did you ask me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, it's interesting because I would originally say if I saw Dark Knight Rises only once, I would agree with Brayden. But after repeated viewings, a lot of the plot holes that I had issues with, because as Darren knows, when I first walked out, I was actually disappointed by the movie.
And I was very surprised that Devin was disappointed. I thought he would love it.
Yeah, and I love the ending, but everything else, I felt the same way. It was just a little too bloated, you know, too much stuff going on, too many plot holes. But then after I've seen it three times now, and by the third time, a lot of the plot holes that I had diminished in my view and whatnot. I actually feel that, you know, a lot of people argue that Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises are more of the movies that work together, and The Dark Knight's kind of off on its own. But after watching The Dark Knight and Batman Begins, after seeing this third one, I actually realized really what Nolan did so well is really make it one huge story, in the sense that Batman Begins is the idea of Bruce Wayne creating a legend and a symbol through Batman, and that becoming more than just a man. And then you have The Dark Knight, where even though Batman Begins had the idea of the legend, Bruce Wayne kind of does away with that and basically creates Harvey Dent as the theme, and basically puts Gotham's hope in a man. And we see how that falls and how that crumbles in Dark Knight Rises, and how reality for it to inspire true hope is through having a legend and a symbol through that is more than just a man, through Batman. So actually, I feel like he brought all that theme together in a three acts, I guess you could say. And so that's what I loved about it was, you know, through repeated viewings, I felt like that theme within itself really hit home. Whereas the Avengers, you know, it was fun. It was kind of great to see all them all together, but I didn't really feel. I mean, I guess Vanessa. I mean, said you. It's hard to follow your description of the Avengers because it's just so well. I did not catch any of that. I just thought it was a very great popcorn flick. I didn't really consider it much story wise, but so anyway, that's my thoughts. That's why I love The Dark Knight Rises. So I think, you know, after repeated viewings, once the themes really hit home, I think you'll be able to. For me, at least, I was able to see how the other two previous movies tied in so well into that third one.
Here's how I would counter the supposition on theme, and here's why I believe that in thematic unity, The Avengers is a superior film. What would you say is the theme of The Dark Knight Rises, Devin?
I would say the theme of The Dark Knight Rises to me is, well, obviously Bruce Wayne going through the whole thing of, you know, falling and then getting up again and all that stuff, but also just the true idea of Batman being a symbol and being a, almost a, you know, I guess a legend and whatnot to inspire hope for the people of Gotham.
Okay. See, for me, when I watched that movie, especially on my second viewing, I felt like the theme that most of the film was going for is one that actually gets totally pulled apart by the denouement, which we'll talk about a little later. And that's the theme of self-sacrifice. Because that's what we've seen throughout both of the other films, that Bruce was willing to put himself and everything in him on the line to sacrifice himself for the city. And when it was all said and done, he didn't pull the trigger on that sacrifice because of what happened afterwards. Whereas, why I feel like what Joss Whedon did with the Avengers was impressive was that this theme of self-sacrifice, I think they both have the same theme when it's all said and done, that of self-sacrifice. But when it is all said and done, I find Iron Man's willingness to die more poignant than the fake out of Batman's willingness to die. Because Batman's was a fake out, but Iron Man's was a genuine self-sacrifice. And how much bigger of a story arc is that from what you see at the beginning of Iron Man 1, that super self-centered, self-interested, and selfish man willing to kill himself to protect humanity. And that... I felt that's why I feel like there was a unity of theme there, both in Captain America being that of self-sacrifice, and especially with that of Iron Man. And that's why I feel like it worked a little better, is because I felt like the poignant scene that pushed that self-sacrifice home was a little more meaningful, because it wasn't a feint and it wasn't a distraction like that self-sacrifice moment was in The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, interesting.
This is I'll let Devin go, then I'll speak.
I was just going to say, I think it's a very interesting point, and I think once we get to that section of the of our discussion, I think, not that I have a counterpoint, but something that I would, my thoughts on that, I guess you could say. But we can talk about when we get to the other section.
Yeah, I may have jumped the gun a little bit there.
No, this is Darren speaking, just to differentiate from Devin. But for me, the best I'm like Vanessa. There's both elements of movies that I absolutely love, because to me it's not, you can't just look at them as their singular movies, because they both had movies before that were building up to these points. Because Avengers is those five movies before, Dark Knight Rises is Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. And so for me it was which overarching thing and culmination did I find more engaging and interesting. And even though it's very, very close, because as the listeners don't know, but people on the panel do, I am obsessed with the movies leading up to the Avengers. I've watched every one of them probably, I'm not even kidding, probably in the 50-something times. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so to see how it all wraps up together and creates these different characters of different personalities and makes them on a coherent team, and to make the Hulk actually work in a movie, which was brilliant. But I love the overarching story of Bruce Wayne having this anger and guilt, and Batman Begins. And even though he was trying to create a symbol, it was for selfish reasons. I mean, he wanted to take out his anger and guilt on the villains and on the thugs of Gotham City and the mobsters, who he's kind of blaming for the death of his parents. And then you have the Dark Knight, where he realizes that he can't keep doing this and he doesn't want to do it anymore. But like Devin said, he tries to do the whole thing of Harvey Dent and push the responsibility on a human being. It doesn't work. and then with The Dark Knight Rises, where you see the results of him losing Rachel, him losing Harvey Dent, and in essence, him realizing that he failed as Batman. His plan did not work. They had to lie to everyone in Gotham City that to give them solace in a sense that something changed, when really, like Gordon is saying, you know, we buried the truth and now this evil rises. It's coming back to bite us in the butt. And to see Bruce Wayne be Batman again for the right reasons, not to anger or guilt, not to portray that on other people who he blames, but to actually do it because he wants to save Gotham City. And that was the real reason why he should be Batman. And to see him own that and accept that, that's what I loved. So not only does he rise from the ashes of his 8-year hiatus and his guilt of his parents and of Rachel and Harvey Dent, but he rises to the real purpose of who Batman really embodies, that it can be anybody, and you are doing it there to protect the city. And that, to me, was the most interesting and engaging of the two movies, if that makes sense.
Cool. So let's talk villains a little bit. What we're going to talk, which is the better villain in terms of motivation and drive and all that kind of stuff, and why. So let's start with Kelsey. Who's the better villain, Loki, Bane?
Hands down, I have to say Bane.
About why I disagree, but
I
go
just
ahead.
Honestly, I can't even in my mind. I understand Loki's this like angst-filled like adopted kid basically, and that's cool and everything, but to me Bane is just, and before I had seen The Dark Knight Rises, I would have been like, Loki, I mean, whatever. But then I learned more about Bane, and in reading Batman versus Bane, and then just seeing him in this movie and seeing it again, I just like, he just seems more than just this like flatline character. There's so much to him, you know, especially in this movie. There's the thing with, you know, Talia and how he fought for her, and to me that was just kind of touching almost. I know it's weird to describe like a villain as being, you know, touching or, you know, emotional, but I really think that that was what Bane brought to the table. And he was just like ruthless and just like, I just think of him and in my mind it's just like, I would be scared. Like if I saw him in an alley, I'd be scared, whereas if I saw Loki, I just kind of laugh, I feel like. And again, that just draws me to my point that when I think of Loki in the movie, I don't really think of anything, I don't know.
Terrifying?
Yeah, I'm not really that scared of him. Like, it's just, he kind of makes me laugh a little bit, especially, you know, I picture that scene where the Hulk is just smashing him back and forth over his head, and I'm thinking, like, okay, like, it's just, he's just a laugh to me, and I understand that there's more to him than that, but at the same time, he just is overshadowed in my mind by Bane.
Okay, point, counterpoint. Vanessa, what do you think?
I don't know. It was really hard for me to pick between the two because I felt like they were kind of going, like they were both going for the same thing in a way. I think what pushed it over the top for me finally, and the answer to the question is Bane, what pushed it over to the Batman, just deal with it. it was that he felt that he had to give the people hope, because it's like that line he says that, you know, the only way you can have true despair is to first have hope. And the fact that, you know, he had to give them all those months where they thought that the bomb wasn't, you know, going to go off, and they thought that maybe there was a chance they'd be okay, when he knew that it just wasn't, that the bomb was still going to go off and everyone was going to die. It was the way that I think that he tortured people, not physically, but mentally, the way he was torturing that entire city, even if they didn't necessarily know, the way that he broke their hero and their savior, even if they didn't know that, just his malice is just, I don't know. It was almost like overwhelming, but I really like Loki too, but I think it was just that one thing that pushed it over for me to say that Bane was the better villain.
Bane was chilling. This is Darren speaking. Bane was chilling. The moments when he is, like Vanessa was saying, talking to Bruce in the jail and talking about the sun and the hope that it brings her, why people lost at sea turn to salt water, because they get so desperate. And the other thing as well was when he is fighting Batman in that scene where he breaks the bat.
Yes.
Those, that the voice. I am so glad they raised the voice and made it louder, because it made it more impactful than it would have been before. And when he has that scene, when he's talking to Batman and saying, you're going to hide in the shadows, I am the shadows. I embrace the shadows. And it is Batman's greatest physical fear.
Yeah.
Right here embodied, right before him. And I don't even know what to say. I got chills in that scene, the very ending when Bane and Bruce, or Bane and Batman, are basically like field generals in this urban warfare. That was incredible. I mean, to see the hate and the malice in Bane and see how he just wants to destroy. And the one last thing that topped it off was when Talia describes to Batman who Bane is and why he protected her and how Bane was crying. You could say that he was crying because of the physical pain. I think he was crying because he loves Talia. In the comic books, he loves Talia. And I think it impacted him to see Talia take care of him and express her, even though she views him as a friend, that she loves him and cares for him. And that made him more deep as a character than just this physical menace wants to destroy. But you see that he actually has more attributes to him than just this destroyer. But
maybe I'm going to get lynched for this, but honestly, with the reveal of Talia and turning Bane into a stupid patsy is what killed Bane for me, because that's all he was. He was not the mastermind. He was a patsy. He was a big buff patsy, but he was just a patsy, and that killed him for me. That and the voice. Like, the first time through, I was like, oh, that works. Second time when we went and saw it, I was like, dude, his voice is so lame.
Oh, I love his voice.
I love his voice, honestly.
I wanted to laugh at him every time he opened his mouth. It just didn't work for me in terms of what I expected a menacing character like that to sound like. It didn't work for me. But here's why I prefer Loki. Basically, the League of Shadows thing is what killed Batman Begins for me as well. That's my least favorite part of Batman Begins. The whole idea that this, you know, holier-than-thou organization of crazy ninja dudes feels the need to occasionally destroy civilizations because they're getting too corrupt, it doesn't sell me, and it was my biggest problem with Batman Begins. And so bringing it back into The Dark Knight Rises was like, and back to the dumb stuff that I didn't like from the first one. Whereas I love that Loki is a whiny, petulant god. I love that. That's what he is. He's whiny, he's petulant, he's childlike, and I find him more fun to watch. I felt like Hiddleston was way more entertaining to watch.
Hiddleston was great as Loki. He sold the role so well.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I loved Hiddleston. Sorry, Brandon,
I just think the idea of destroying a city to create world peace is poppycock. And so that's always killed me about the League of Shadows idea. That's not what Loki's goal is. Loki wants people to worship him, and he will do whatever it takes to get stupid earthlings on their knees. And I find him utterly compelling as a character. And so that's why I prefer Loki.
Well, see, Devin, I want to your point about making him Bane kind of degraded because he is just like a second in command when you get the reveal of Talia. Devin, if you don't mind explaining that, because I know that we've talked about that very issue.
Yeah, and actually, what I view is, like I said, a lot of people kind of sit there and said that the twist in the end of the movie is that it's shortened. It kind of just said it made Bane look like a simple henchman. But even if he is a henchman, I would consider him more like Darth Vader. Darth Vader was always under the command of the Emperor and even the Star Wars New Hope, Grand Moff Tarkin, but you still did not mess with Darth Vader. He, you know, was just like just the best villain, I would say, in cinema history until
until the prequels. The prequels, yeah.
Yeah, made him, you know, to a whiny little boy. But so even at that, but I consider their relationship more like Bonnie and Clyde. Of you had two people who had the same goal, who loved each other, maybe not physically loved each other like Bonnie and Clyde did, but they had the same goal. You know, Bane he worked on the outside to destroy Gotham and to break Batman, where Talia worked on the inside to infiltrate Wayne Industries and to infiltrate, Bruce's, you know, circle of trust, I guess you could say. So even though they took different approaches, they had the same goal and worked together to destroy Gotham, to destroy Bruce Wayne and get revenge for Bruce basically killing Ra's al Ghul, or I guess Ra's al Ghul. So And so that's my thing, is I don't think it diminished him. I just think, one, it was an homage to the comics, you know, Bane of the Demon, and I think, if I believe I'm correct, Legacy, where Bane and Talia had that, you know, they worked together in League of Shadows, even though Talia hated Bane, but they still had that relationship. So that's my thing, is I think it just put them on equal ground personally. But,
okay.
But as for Loki, I think if we're just basing Loki on Thor, I would say I would love Loki more, because Loki, he was his personality and everything. I just felt there's so many different dimensions to his character in the movie Thor that I loved him. He became my absolute favorite villain in the Marvel Universe. I was so excited when they chose him to reprise be the villain in the Avengers. But I felt like, and I said, I know you this, we loved him. I felt like, to have someone who's so multidimensional, to then make him just the only thing he cared about was, you know, every scene was him, you know, bow before me and I'm a god and all this stuff. It just, it felt like it just diminished who he was. And you said you know, while it was so fleshed out in Thor, he just became, it was just kind of disappointing.
He became kind of basic, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he became basic. He became your typical villain, you know. It was just, for me, I was just kind of sad by that. So that's why I love Bane more than Loki, I guess, if you're going to compare the two, just because I felt like Loki was diminished as a character in the Avengers. But that's just me, though.
And I would say, this is Darren speaking, I would say that the Avengers was just a continuation of Loki.
Yeah, I would too. Because if anything, I think the reason why we see him as more of a godlike figure and less of that, the different sides of him, is because he's dealing with Earthlings. Because his best scenes in the Avengers are when he's talking to Thor. That scene when Thor takes him to that mountaintop and says, "Now listen to me, brother." There's that great scene where Iron Man thunks Thor out of the way and then he goes, I'm listening. Like, those little character moments are always when he's with Thor, because he knows he's on equal ground with Thor. But these humans, they're like ants. You don't treat ants any differently than you always treat ants, because that's how he sees us. And I felt like it was a natural progression of him as a character, because we are just ants to him. But when you see someone on equal ground with him, another Asgardian, that's when it's time to be that complex, developed character again.
Yeah, and I think Loki, because of his motivation to rule, and I mean, you could make the argument as well that because he is working for Chakari, that he is also kind of the same role as Bane. But it was different because.
But you know he's in that role. It's yeah, not like there's a reveal in the 11th hour saying, "Oh no, he's the second in command." You know that there is someone who's in charge of him that is granting him this ability to punish Earth. And I think that because I knew it from the beginning, I felt like it worked better for me, I guess.
No, that's very true, because you know what to expect. You know his motivations right from the beginning and what's going on. And I would say that Loki's ferocity, though, is portrayed very well in The Avengers.
That it is.
I will agree with that. I will definitely agree with that. So,
I mean, that scene where he shivs Thor, guys. When you see that moment of maybe he's actually feeling remorse. Maybe he's oh, boom, shivved.
Yeah.
Sucka, are you ever going to learn, you dumb oaf?
Yeah, well, but you see in his face, I really do think that he was maybe second-guessing, what have I actually done? But he was
maybe
so...
maybe it's Hiddleston's acting, because I really feel like he stands out of that whole great...
Oh, yeah.
But he sells that scene to me.
Yep, because that's when Loki really became intriguing to me. Well, I always thought, I like what Devin was saying, I loved him in Thor. He was my favorite. He is my favorite Marvel villain in the movie universe. But it's when you could see that he maybe has remorse, but he says, "No, what the heck with it? I'm doing this anyway." And he just then turns even more evil. It's like, wow, I'm going all in right now.
I just can't wait to see him in Thor 2, baby.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I'm looking forward to him in Thor 2, and I just wish there's more of the scene we talked about in the Avengers. I guess I just wish there's more of that. And obviously, it's a really long movie, but if they had more of those type of situations, I think Loki would have won me over as the better of the villain of the two.
Deleted scenes, baby. Deleted scenes.
Yeah, maybe. Because I just love the actor who portrays him. I just think he does such an incredible job.
And he's a great person in real life, which always makes me love them even more. Vanessa and Kelsey, you guys, any closing thoughts before we move on to the next topic?
Yes, actually.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
If I may. Thank you. I think, you know, one of my biggest problems with Loki is that, you know, he talks a lot. And I don't know, I feel like, you know, for me as a villain, there needs to be some sort of action. And, you know, my biggest moment with Loki when I really liked him was when Hawkeye shoots that arrow at him and he catches it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in the theater was just like, oh, like, I feel like he's capable of so much that they're not showing us. So maybe we'll see some of that in Thor 2. I definitely hope so. But I just felt like, he could have done more. I felt like he was holding back the entire movie. And maybe that was just a vibe I was getting. I could be wrong. That's just how I felt.
So do you feel like they wish would have shown more of his physical strength and his godlike powers?
Just a little bit, even. I feel like he just talked too much. I wish he just would have been quiet.
Yeah. There you go.
No, that just nails down my gripe, I think, right there. That sentence. So I would definitely agree with Vanessa on that.
Right, Kelsey.
Yeah, I would just have to totally agree with Vanessa that he does, like, he uses his power as leverage, but he doesn't actually act upon it. Whereas Bane, I mean, he's just very, most times he's not a man of many words. You know, the things that stand out to me about him most are, you know, when he just, like, kills a man with one hand, basically, or something like that. But I definitely have to agree with what Vanessa said. And I think it might be my view of the reason that I love, usually love Marvel so much is the realistic, the more realistic feel of it. But I feel like that's kind of reversed because of the whole Loki Thor God situation and them being gods. So maybe that's why I'm a little bit more biased and I like Bane a little bit more because he seems so much more real to me. And like there's just, and I think that's why it's so incredible to me is that he's this big menacing villain that you think should have some kind of superpower. Like you think that he had to have been dunked in something radioactive for him to be that, you know, all powerful, but it's not. And I think that's just probably why I just admire him so much. It's weird to say that I admire him so much, but I really do. It's just because he's just like a boss and he just comes through and just does his thing. I mean, he gets shut down, but I don't know. So maybe that's where my bias comes from a little bit, but Loki is still pretty cool.
My only closing remarks, this is, I have to just preface this by saying I'm one of the biggest Joss Whedon fans in the world. And so I see Loki as a natural progression of a Joss Whedon bad guy. You watch Serenity, the agent does tons of talking, but is brutal when he needs to be. You watch any of the seasons of Buffy, the best big bads, Glory, the mayor, do a lot of talking and you understand who they are. You understand their motivations, but when they need to be brutal, they're brutal. And that's what I like in the characters. Maybe it's preferential because I've spent decades watching and absorbing Whedon's style that I really enjoyed it.
Interesting.
Which I think that is a great way to spend your time, by the way, also a big Whedon fan. So.
There are few better ways to spend your time than watching Joss Whedon shows.
Agreed.
Well, okay, so now let's move on to better action, and I'll just say this. This is one that I'm increasingly, the more and more I watch Dark Knight Rises and watching The Avengers 4 times in theater, yes, I know that's either that's sad or that's great.
It's amazing
who you are.
It's amazing.
Amazing. So, amazing.
Well, I'm glad that at least on the panel agrees with me, because I think it's amazing too, but tell some people that, like, four times?
You know, they what? Don't know anything.
Thank you, Vanessa. So I'm conflicted on this topic, but let's start with Devin first about which has better action.
You know, I'm going to have to say The Avengers.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
I mean, because that's why I wanted to see The Avengers, was just to see the Hulk and Thor and Captain America and Iron Man beat the crap out of everybody. And, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow were just, you know, frosting on the cake. I mean, the scene when you have Hulk smash things and when, you know, Iron Man shoots off Captain America's shield.
Yes.
That was just one of the greatest action moments in cinema history. And so
everyone freaked out in the movie theater.
Yeah, just that. I just love that flow where you see all six of them and it seems like one continuous shot. All six of them highlighting why they are who they are and why they are where they are. And it all just makes sense. And that to me is what clinches the Avengers.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like incredible. I feel like the Dark Knight Rises action is more poignant. Like that scene where Bane and Batman walk up to each other on the steps of the courthouse is pretty poignant. and just start throwing punches as the sun's starting to come up and the snow is falling. It's very poignant, but it doesn't have the bombast that you get when all six of the Avengers are doing their thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is I think I would say Nolan's biggest weakness is action sequences.
I agree.
I mean, I think The Dark Knight Rises was the best of his movies, but you know, the first two Batmans, even Inception, I would say, the stories are incredible, but the action is still good, but it's the weakest of the movie, of his, you know, of what he does as a filmmaker, in my opinion, so.
Yeah, and I would say the big thing that got me switching The Dark Knight Rises to The Avengers, because I personally want to say Avengers on this, is, like you all said, that one scene, that one single shot, because that's where I figuratively wet my... Yeah, that's where I figuratively wet my pants out of excitement, because it was just so cool to see Iron Man. Oh yeah. Yeah, it was, and then Hawkeye shooting, and then ends with Loki grabbing the arrow like Vanessa was saying before. Oh my gosh. It was
incredible. And then it exploding in his face triumphantly.
Yeah.
Because here he is, so haughty and so full of himself, and he thinks, "Ha, you stupid Earth." It's beautiful.
It really is. I will say this though, the action in The Dark Knight Rises, like you were saying, Brayden, was poignant, but it emotionally resonated with me more, because when you have the mercenaries and the cops coming together slowly with no music and it's silent, and then you know the cops are feeling like, we're going to die. These guys have machine guns. We have pistols. And then the bat comes down, and just when everyone cheers and they get started with the music, and then like Bane, like you were saying, Brayden, Bane and Batman fighting
it's
on the steps.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's great
oh
stuff.
Yeah, and it emotionally resonated. And the ones what I was talking about before with Batman getting his bat broke, which I will say this, to me personally, is the most iconic scene I've ever seen in my entire life, because as a Batman fan, I was freaking out. But that does not change the fact that, like we were all saying, the Avengers, the scope, and how there's so many shout-outs to fanboys. I mean, Hulk punching Thor, Hulk beating up on Loki,
yeah, Iron Man
flying. Iron Man flying through that big flying creature and exploding it from the inside. From Hulk jumping from building and saving Iron Man and clutching to the building, and it was. There's so many fanboy moments where you just screamed because it was so cool.
I mean, that's the Avengers is probably the most fun movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've, especially when watching with the theaterful fanboys, I mean, it's that's a moment I'll relive, or I'll look back to the rest of my life.
And I think that that's an important distinction to make between these two films. I feel like the Avengers is much more fun and much more, and that's why when we get to our talk about in 20 years, which one am I going to watch on DVD more often? The Avengers, because I don't feel like it has all that emotional baggage that The Dark Knight Rises does, which is still, it's a great film, but I feel like I can only watch it after I've watched the other two in succession, whereas The Avengers, I got 2.5 hours. Throw that baby in the DVD player.
It's so true. So Kelsey, let's hear from you.
I'm very much so split down the middle with this one. I do feel patronage, and like I feel like I should... definitely align with Batman, but at the same time, again, that scene where they just all come together and are just, you know, guns blazing, just going at it, that is a pretty epic scene. So, and I think I have to agree with what everyone has said so far, the fact that it's just like something you look at and you're like, I was personally like smiling through that whole action sequence.
Yeah,
I don't know about
too.
Anyone else, because I was like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. Like, I got excited, but you know, whereas in Batman, I was like, oh man. Like I had my hands over my mouth. I was like in the fetal position, like upright, and you know,
I know
rocking
I was
back
there.
And
I
forth.
Was sitting next to her.
Yes. Yeah, I was. They were there. Even the second time watching it is.
You still curled up into a ball.
I still curled up into a ball. Not as much, but because it's just so emotionally poignant. And I will agree with this, what Brayden said about it being poignant, and that's why I love it. But at the same time, it's just, for action's sake, I would have to go with the Avengers, because it's just, like, knuckle-busting awesome. You know, they just, you know, after watching that, I wanted to go punch somebody. You know, I wanted to go cause a ruckus. Whereas when I watched Batman, I was like, I don't know what I want to do right now. Like, cry, maybe?
I just can't wait to get another one of those scenes in Avengers 2 with that many more good guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen.
And it also, I would have to say that all of those good guys going against, you know, those crazy snake robot things that freaked me out, and like taking them down, I was like, you go guys, just get at it. So yeah.
Yeah, it was epic. Well, Vanessa, let's hear from you.
I don't know if I can say any more than what everyone else has said about this. It's Avengers all the way on the action. They just, I don't know. Like that scene when the Hulk is running through the building and he jumps out of the window and takes down that Leviathan and just kills it. Like that reminded me so much of the scene in Lord of the Rings and the last one when Legolas takes down the Oilophant. Like,
oh yeah.
As a nerd, I seriously almost cried. Like I had tears in my eyes because I was so happy when that happened.
I wish you had been here in Iowa watching that movie with me, Vanessa. Oh, I just wish.
See, and that's the thing. Seeing the Avengers for the first time, I thought that I was going to die. I was so excited. My heart was beating so fast. I went to see it with one of my best friends, and I was just smacking him the whole time because I didn't know what to do with my hands. Just the action was so good. I was just smiling. I was like sweating because I was so happy. I don't know. Like, you can't beat that. You just can't beat what the Avengers did.
Amen.
In that, now, yeah, just in those final few moments.
And this is the other thing as well to add to it, what Vanessa was saying is everyone had, because it reminded me of this when you're talking about the Hulk running through this building, everyone had their action moments that made you just love them even more.
Yeah.
Everyone had their action moments. And
yeah.
Wow.
Even yeah, Hawkeye.
Wasn't just, yeah, there
even
wasn't
Hawkeye.
Just one.
Yeah.
I didn't care about one. Hawkeye until that movie came out.
Yep. I thought that scene where, see, I haven't seen the Avengers in a while, so it's harder for me to remember. And maybe that's why I'm leaning towards Batman. I don't know. But that scene where Hawkeye like has to jump off of a building or something, I don't remember exactly. But
oh,
I remember
and he shoots
really
the arrow.
Shoots yeah, the yes. grappling hook arrow.
Yeah, he just has really? That one left. I thought that was great. I liked watching Captain America, you know, as the leader. You could kind of see on his face wondering if he was making the right calls, you know. I really
oh,
liked
and
he that.
So was.
Yeah, I thought Chris Evans did a great job as Captain America. Mm-hmm. You know, he took a bullet for the team. I don't know. I really liked the action in the Avengers. I thought that it was perfect. I don't think they could have done a better job.
Me neither.
Agreed.
Well, that's the one thing, is the Avengers and the action no one ever, ever complains about. Dark Knight Rises, I've heard mixed. The Avengers, I haven't met one person like, yeah, the action kind of sucked. Like, no.
How could you ever say that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Now those people would be lynched.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I will say this, though. The one thing I did appreciate about the action in The Dark Knight Rises was I felt like there was a much bigger purpose of it, either tying to a theme or following a certain story, you know, I guess, of, so Darren said, you know, the scene with them in the, with the streets and the cops and the Batman swoops in and that whole thing just... I feel like one thing I did appreciate with the action scenes, I guess, Nolan, even though I kind of ripped on him as a director with action, is I did love how its purpose was to help further the story along and not to have action for the sake of action. Which in the Avengers, I would say the Avengers was the point of the action was to please those fanboys just to see that on screen and make it, you know, iconic. But anyway, that's
if it was,
kind of
I'd be okay with that because it satisfied my needs. So
yes.
Wait, what?
I said, if it was, as I'm fine with that because it satisfied my needs as a fanboy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was purely iconic for that reason, which I can't think of any other movie that action has been so iconic for the sake of action. You know, it's just so good. But yeah, anyway.
Sorry, Kelsey, you go.
I was going to add to that, like what Devin said, is that Nolan, to me, his action is always, you know, it's always like a symbol, and it always is tied to something. And I think that's where he lacks, is because he tries to approach the mind as opposed to, you know, he tries to get you thinking. And I think that's why everyone just picks the Avengers overall. I mean, it's excellent how he does it, but at the same time, it lacks in the action department.
Well, yeah. And it was nice to just see mindless action that was done well.
Obviously, this panel went a bit longer than we intended. We did call it a short there in the beginning, and clearly it is not that. That's what happens when you get five geeks together to really dig into something that they're as passionate about as these two great movies that came out this summer. Consequently, we've decided to split it into two parts so that it's a little more manageable, and it's not this huge file you've got to try to download. Consequently, in 2 days' time, the second part will appear, either at BetweenTheBubbles.com, or if you subscribe in iTunes, it will appear like a gift from the heavens right there in your iTunes. We hope you're enjoying it, and as always, Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media. I, Braden, am the executive producer. Darren is our communications director, and we wish you very happy reading. Until next time.